Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the ICN Town Hall meeting. At this time, all participants are on the listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the call, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. I would like to introduce your host for today's call, Mr. Bill Kovacek. Sir, you may begin.
Hello, everyone. I'm Bill Kovacek at the Law School at George Washington University, and welcome to the ICN Town Hall meeting. Our aim this morning is to have an informal discussion, to share ideas about the path ahead for the ICN, and to focus, among other things, on the planning for the second decade, a project that John initiated during his tenure as chair of the steering group, and that Eduardo will be advancing during his own time now as the head of the steering group. For our plan today is to have John and then Eduardo give a few comments about their thoughts about the future direction of ICN, adjustments in its focus going ahead, to review a bit about what came out of the second decade project, and then to have a discussion among us. So to begin, if I could please ask John if you could get us started with a short description, perhaps, of the second decade project and your own thoughts about major findings and future directions, please.
Thank you, Bill. It's a great pleasure to join you and Eduardo in this town hall meeting. So the second decade began, I think, really around the conference in Istanbul 2 years ago and the run-up to that, where we began to think ICN had done a lot of very good work in its first decade, but thinking about the second decade, was there a risk? We had picked all the low-hanging fruit, and if so, how were we going to get the tastier fruit higher up on the tree? Or put another way, to quote Lampedusa's book, The Gattopardo, if we want things to stay as they are, things will have to change. I mean, a successful organization has to, I think, consider what it needs to do to continue its success, and stationarity is rarely the correct option for that. So We held a planning for the second decade breakout sessions in Istanbul, and that brought home to us the need for a much wider engagement with the members than we could do there. So we actually consulted with almost all of the DEN membership of 110 agencies in a very inclusive way. And a number of themes came out of that, and I'm going to focus on four of them. The first one was a strong emphasis on continuity, continuing the very good work we do in the mergers, cartels, and unilateral conduct working group, but with continuity, but with sort of vigor about getting certain things done, particularly around convergence and cooperation. And there was a strong support for the idea of convergence within ICN and also for cooperation on cases and on policies. And one of the ways in which we're taking that continuity theme forward is in the special projects we announced in Rio this year on investigative process, the relationship with the judiciary, and cooperation, because they all really feed into how we can do our merger, cartel, and unilateral conduct work better. So that was one theme, was continuity, but in some sense make it better, try to tackle some of the harder issues within that. The second big theme that came out of that second decade discussion was on competition advocacy. And I think here, this is probably the area where the strategic focus changed the most, I think, because when ICN was set up, it was set up by a smaller group of agencies for whom enforcement of competition law was probably what they primarily saw as the role of a competition agency. But a great number, possibly even the majority of the 110 members and now 125 members, don't yet have what I would call fully developed competition enforcement regimes in the way that the many U.S. and European and other more developed agencies have. And the task for them is really much closer to persuading government to remove restrictions on competition, persuading governments to have effective competition law, changing the competition culture within their society to provide broader civic support for tackling monopolies, cartels, and other harm to competition. And a huge demand, I think, for, or a huge articulation of the fact that the advocacy work ICN was doing was one of the things that benefited them most. And so in that sense, I think we reinvigorated our advocacy program. The third theme that came out of this, I would loosely capture under enhancing capacity, and I think it covers a number of things. One is upskilling, and we've been thinking about the use of teleseminars and other things to enable us to, if you like, engage in some activities that support training of staff working in agencies. Secondly, on enhancing capacity, is the work of the Agency Effectiveness Working Group and how we can focus that work and get the workbooks out there so that we think about how we better run our agencies. And then there was a piece on implementation. How do we make sure we get implementation? And so the curriculum project fits into several of those themes, all of it really about enhancing capacity of the agencies. Capacity of the agencies to deliver, capacity of the agencies to implement as well. And then fourthly, I'd probably pick on the inclusiveness and engagement theme that came out. That I think when we engage with members, they were happy to be engaged with. And I think there's always a supply and demand thing here. How does ICN create an environment in which the diverse members are prepared to articulate their views? And so we've done a great deal, both in the governance of the organization, but also in how we engage with the wider membership to try and improve the participation of other members. So if you like, the rotation of the steering groups, the use of teleseminars, the way we structure the annual conference, all of these things are really to try and focus on that inclusiveness, diversity, and giving agencies a voice within the system. So those are probably the themes: continuity, but do it, but continued improvement, competition advocacy being an area where people see huge benefits, improving agency capability, and trying to make sure that the network itself is diverse and inclusive. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, John, for the wonderful summary, and also again looking back, thanks for devoting the efforts of the network to this project, which is such a valuable way to see how the network can evolve and grow effectively over time and serve its members' needs. Eduardo, if I could ask you to follow on with your own thoughts and as you've done in the past, to give some further reflections on what might be our priorities going ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much, Bill, and let me tell you that it's a pleasure to be with you and with John in this exercise, along with NGAs and agencies in this first exercise of advocacy, actually, that is so important for the ICN. As John was saying, the second decade project, actually, we are very fortunate in the ICN to be able to start with such an important project that guides us in the that what is going to be my tenure as a chairman of the ICN, and I'm sure that is going to also give some lines for the future persons that will take our post to work in the ICN as a chairperson together with the steering group and the working groups. So actually, my first objective is basically to put all efforts to direct towards helping to realize this vision of landing this second decade project and continue this very important work that John has started specifically from the Istanbul ICN meeting. But obviously, as John says, we have to move and to continue making important changes as well, because this is the way to maintain the high quality of this organization. So I have basically put in place in Rio de Janeiro a few weeks ago three objectives that basically are taken from the second decade project, but put some emphasis in three elements that I consider are elements that have to be in the priority side in order to continue the work of the ICN. First of all, of them is the enhanced member engagement. The second is to improve assistance to members to maintain the importance and the value added of the ICN generates and promotes. And third, which is something that was touched by John as well, and this is so important, is to, especially at this moment with this international crisis, to give greater international visibility for competition policy and principles. And this last element is crucial, especially in this situation that we have to, in this international situation where we need to send a very strong signal in favor of market-oriented policies, but market-oriented policies that basically go in the environment of competition from enforcement decisions and competition from regulatory decisions from different governments. So let me very briefly move on these three elements. Engagement is very important. John was very clear previously. We have moved from 16 agencies to a little bit more than 123 members in the ICN. So engagement of in this new environment of the ICN is very important. We have to continue to demonstrate the agencies of the importance of being part of the ICN. And here we have two tracks that we have to engage on. One is to continue promoting and maintaining the quality of the ICN products, and the other is outreach. And they both of them go in this line of member engagement. In the first part, which is ICN work products, I have the privilege to work together with Andreas Mundt, that is the head of the German Competition Authority, and he is the vice chair of the ICN in this new way to define the role of vice chairs. He's going to be, and he is now very active on this work, concentrating on the quality of the work products of the ICN. Here we are seeking to identify ways that ensure ICN's products are useful, continue to be useful to our members. And I hope this includes a quality improvement on the one side, such as templates for work plans and self-assessment by working groups, but also we have to continue to seek your input, from the agencies and from the NGAs, on the relevance and usefulness of our products. So I at this moment, I would like to put and to basically send a very provocative invitation to all the agencies that have not been participating actively in the ICN to basically get in touch with us, to get in touch with the vice chair as well, Andreas Mundt, in order to put your inputs to be sure that these products are going to be useful for all of you. The second element in member involvement is outreach. Over the years, we have shared a number of ideas on member outreach, including a detailed 2008 outreach study. We have had focus groups in 2009 and 2010, and recently, precisely the second decade project. So we have prepared a member and NGAs introductory toolkits. We have held orientation calls for new members and coordinated partnerships and mentoring through the Formen CPI working group and the ISOOP. So building in this work, my plan is to work together with the other vice chair, that is Bruno Lasserre, that is the head of the Competition Authority of France, to prepare initiatives that are going to include things that like a new member tracks at the annual conference, or mentoring or partnering among members. So with the help of Bruno Lasserre, I'm sure that we will be basically in line to increase our outreach activities. Now, on my second goal and third, they are both related to advocacy. John has already mentioned the foundation of the second decade responses for both of these goals. The second decade is a very good reflection point for the ICN, and I would like to see the ICN to use its very important social capital to support member initiatives to implement ICN best practices and to give great voice to competition principles in broader domestic policy and multilateral economic fora. As you know, we just recently, this week, at the beginning of this week, we had in Mexico the G20 meeting. And I think the signal that was a very strong signal that was sent in that meeting was in the sense that we have to fight against protectionism. That is a way to promote competition through international trade and globalization. And this is the kind of we have to be much more active in this kind of forums, not only in this mechanism like G20, but also. Well, of course, we are very active in OECD, but we have to continue to be active in UNTAD and some other forums where the ICN has to be much more vocal in this advocacy exercise. So the Assistance to Member Initiative has a strong foundation in my own personal experience, actually, as head of the Competition Commission in Mexico. I have personally seen directly how helpful the ICN support has been for my agency. We have had two major reforms of our law, which have been based in best international practices that have been developed especially by the ICN. We have actually, we invited in one of those exercises, maybe the most important last year, in the major reform that we had, we invited the chairman of the ICN, John Fingleton, who helped us to speak with our constituencies in Mexico and in his role as a chair of the ICN. So advocacy and implementation support program is also another instrument which currently provides for more broad-based technical assistance. The advocacy and implementation support program, which is the ISUP, is basically head by the JFTC, which is the Japanese Fair Trade Competition Agency, that basically requests assistance from Mexico, from other members, in order to support agencies and to provide them with the requesting agency with an explanation of the relevant ICM products and in some cases implementation advice. So I plan to work closely with the Japanese Competition Authority, with my colleagues from that authority, to bolster this initiative. In the third goal and the final goal, which is also in my vision statement, which is promote competition policy. John also mentioned the importance of our member. To our members of the ICN's work on advocacy. The second decade report also suggested that there may also be a demand for the ICN to play a more visible role in the global competition policy debate that should go forward. So as a first step for this project, I plan to articulate the messages that we like to promote, and this will be working together with the steering group, hand by hand with the steering group, and in the longer term, as it was noted also in the vision statement, for a domestic audience, I hope that we could consider distilling the messages to develop principles and practices, and then invite regulators, which is very important. We have to work every day with the regulators of energy, with regulators of the banking system, regulators of telecoms and transport, and we have to generate a very, very positive and constructive dialogue with them in order to build a very pro-competitive regulatory framework. In the multilateral arena, in the longer term, we could consider, of course, identifying appropriate platforms and participate as speakers. And if there are specific topics in events that could open the door to the ICN to be much more active. So this is just a very quick, even though that I took maybe a longer time than I should, Bill, a longer quick summary of the vision statement, and I very much look forward to get feedback on the ideas on this call.
No, thank you, Eduardo, and certainly something that both you and John have underscored in all of these matters is that the ICN was not created simply for the sake of having another institution. Its purpose is to provide valuable services to its members, and a major spirit of both of your comments and Eduardo, your elaboration of these three aims is to ensure that the network to be of value genuinely addresses the needs and aspirations of its members, and that is such a fundamental and important question for all of us to be focused on. I'd like to ask our operator, Dorinda, if I could, we'd like to turn now to a discussion among all of our participants, and what we welcome at this point are questions, comments, suggestions on what you've heard, the larger framework that John laid out, and perhaps more specifically the comments on the three aims as Eduardo has set them out. So I'd like to really use the balance of our hour today to solicit your views, thoughts, comments about these and related issues. Dorinda, if you could please invite our other participants to join in.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. One moment, please. Again, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. One moment, please. I'm showing no questions at this time, sir.
Let me pose the question this way to the group. One important objective that Eduardo had at the top of his list is more engagement, and engagement on several fronts. One extremely important focal point is to determine from our members whether the materials, products, services that ICN has provided genuinely improves their ability to do their work well. Another is the use of outreach to identify future projects to ensure that the agenda for projects in the future is suitable for an expanding, growing membership. Are we using the right techniques to do this? Are there methods or possibilities that come to mind that might not have received emphasis to this point? Are there other ways that come to mind that would be valuable to pursue these aims? Perhaps to address methods that are used now that you find particularly attractive, or others that perhaps deserve more attention?
Again, if you have a question at this time, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. One moment, please. Our first question comes from James Reel. Your line is open.
Thanks very much. And aboring a vacuum, let me just throw out two thoughts. One, it occurs to me that a great deal of progress was made and a great service was performed by the ICN in guiding principles and recommended practices in the merger area. And I know there's some effort being made at the OECD and perhaps elsewhere to check or at least evaluate how effective that's really been. I think that consideration could well be given to expanding the concept of guiding principles and recommended practices in other areas. There's been some done in the unilateral conduct area. But I think more can be done that could be helpful both in support and engagement and outreach to members. The second thought on advocacy, and this may be difficult, but it seems to me that that a sharing of experiences with advocacy, you know, that could be delicate and somewhat politically sensitive, as to where there have been successes and failures, perhaps. I certainly participated in some of the latter in advocacy that might put more effectively concrete flesh on the bones of the project. And those are just two thoughts. Thanks.
No, thanks very much, Jim. Other comments, suggestions?
Our next question comes from Vladimir Kochlin. Your line is open.
Yeah, thank you very much. I certainly would echo Jim by saying that, of course, ASEAN has done a variety of superb work products, and most of those products are very suitable and relevant to the needs of both younger and more experienced jurisdictions from various regions of the world and various environments where they have been developing their competition regimes. And I think this was the major achievement of the ASEAN first decade. And referring to Eduardo's call to greater practicality of ASEAN work and its great orientation to the specific needs of specific agencies, I would like to share the following reflection. It looks like, to a certain extent, in the major working groups, the major topics of their works, like specific practices in a unilateral conduct working group or specific aspects and remedies of merger review regimes, or specific issues related to anti-cartel enforcement. So all those issues were covered in a very substantial extent, and it looks like the general trend in the development of those working group activities is trying to increase the practicality of those work products, like converting former reports or surveys into handbooks and other materials that, like best practices and other types of materials that can be better suited to for use by other jurisdictions and broader ASEAN membership. So it looks like this trend of exhausting to a certain extent the topics of work can release the working group resources for more targeted effort aimed at the support of maybe specific competition authorities or addressing specific competition problems common to several competition authorities at regional level or maybe at a broader level, so that those resources can be targeted to specific, so to say, technical assistance or aid programs conducted by the ICM in the interest of one or several agencies, but with a view of enhancing the possibility of broader learning from the experience of those agencies by greater variety of agencies. And in this context, of course, ICM Advocacy and Implementation Network and its Advocacy and Implementation Project can be very helpful in terms of translating the needs emerging as the emerging among the ASEAN member authorities into more practical requests to working group for assistance in specific matters related to the working group, particular working group competency. And of course, it's quite challenging task to reveal those needs and to mobilize the relevant resources, and moreover, to determine the proper status of such work products. But I think it can be potentially very useful, especially provided that other jurisdictions would be able to learn and copy experience from such assistance projects. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Vladimir. I mean, one thing I take from both Jim and Vladimir's comments are thoughts about how to distill and convey know-how. That is, Jim's comment about advocacy. Would it be valuable to have a mechanism by which there can be perhaps a more candid, direct, and more completely specific discussion of individual episodes about how individual advocacy approaches worked or failed? What was the mix of politics and technical proficiency that went into making things work? Where were the big hurdles, somewhat difficult perhaps, or sensitive to address, but more informative if that kind of know-how comes out? And closely related to that, Vladimir's comment about more targeted support for agencies, and we might think about this morning and discuss the specific way in which that support can best be delivered. Looking back at Eduardo's second objective, assistance to members, how best to do that as a practical matter. Other comments on these or other points?
Our next question comes from Paul O'Brien. Your line
to
is
add
open.
A location to your conference, to cancel the call to this location, press star.
Your line is open, sir. Paul O'Brien.
We're sorry. Your entry is not valid. For calls to North America, please enter 1 plus the area code and phone number. Wait for your party to answer, then press pound to add the location to your conference. For calls to locations outside of North America, please enter the country code and phone number. Wait for your party to answer, then press pound to add the location to your conference. To cancel the call to this location, press star.
Your line is open, sir.
We're sorry. Your entry is not valid. For calls to North America.
If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. One moment, please. I'm showing the questions at this time, sir.
I'm sorry, Dorinda?
I'm showing the questions at this time, sir. Go one moment, please. The one just popped up.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from Barry Hadley. Your line is open.
Hi. I just want to agree with what Eduardo said earlier, that in terms of visibility for competition policy and principles, that's even more critical for us young competition agencies, such as the one that I'm at now, the CARICOM Competition Commission, where the emphasis really is on building the understanding and awareness of what it is competition policy can bring and the benefits both at the economic and the social level. So I quite agree with what Eduardo has said, and it's a very worthwhile initiative of the ICN member groups. So that's my comment for now.
Barry, if I could come back to you on that, are there particular ways, maybe just to take a minute, that you think that could best be done? How to fulfill that aim in your view in the most effective way?
Well, I think some of the agency effectiveness and also the advocacy materials that the ICN is developing are very critical to that. And I think the example, I think it was mentioned earlier, where we talk about examples of best practices or examples of where particular initiatives have worked, the distribution of that type of information. What is working, what hasn't worked, what are the specific circumstances under which they worked, and how maybe we can amend or adjust those particular initiatives to fit with an individual country or region's economic and social circumstances. So I think we have started along that way, and it's just, I think, to fine-tune some of those products to maybe work better in the circumstances that the smaller developed or transition economies find themselves in.
So to move in the direction of more specific items, that is, when Vladimir gave his comment before, he mentioned how there had been a progression over time from more general propositions to much more concrete, specific implementation documents or materials. In this case, perhaps to build more detailed case studies that said, this is what happened, these were the conditions, here are the lessons that we derive from it. Something more detailed along that line.
Yes, I would agree totally with that.
Other comments. I mean, we have another number of views here about how to give assistance, the ways that are most informative to members for the network to provide assistance. Other comments about these three themes: engagement, assistance, and more visibility for competition law.
Again, if you have a question at this time, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. One moment, please. Again, if you have a question at this time, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. One moment, please. Our next question comes from Banya. Your line is open. Your line is open. Again, if you have a question at this time, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. One moment, please. Our next question comes from Daniel School. Your line is open.
Hi. My question is in two parts. First question is, to what extent does the ICN have a wish list of things that it wishes it could do in the advocacy realm, but because of various institutional constraints in a given country in terms of the powers of agencies, et cetera, it can't do, and it would advocate changing institutional structures or has contemplated changing institutional structures based on certain powers that it wishes that it could have? And then the related question is, a lot of the advocacy work is done by governments. What can NGAs do more proactively to help in the advocacy work?
Thanks, Danny. Reactions to Danny's question about what might be done if larger conditions were better, roles for NGAs, and again, thinking back to our colleague from CARICOM and his comment, if you look agency by agency, if you look at just the past 5 years, a striking number of agencies have managed to make fairly basic reforms in their existing framework. And to think more about how that came about, where was ICN useful in that process, how can that kind of experience be applied elsewhere? Other questions or comments?
Again, if you have a question at this time, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. One moment, please. No questions at this time, sir.
I guess a further point that that we might address is to come at the the question of engagement or member assistance this way. In what instances and in what way have ICN recommendations or materials been most useful in your own work? That is, both from the perspective of the agencies that have seen this firsthand, but also for the NGAs and the role of observing what's taken place in individual settings. Jim's original comment touched on this and talking about the role of guiding principles and recommended practices. But one way to think of what ought to be pressed most extensively and what might be added to the mix is to think of what's been effective to this point.
Our next question comes from Stephen Kalkin. Your line is open.
Hello, Professor Kovacic. A great pleasure. I'm going to pick up on your previous comment when you rattled off that a number of countries have seen some pretty substantial changes, and it's interesting to know to what extent the ICN was helpful in that. The obvious follow-up, seems to me, would be that it might be useful to ask you to write down your list, and then if somebody were to call the persons on that list and do a little discussion with them about was something from the ICN useful, if so, what and how, and if things from the ICN were not useful, you know, why or what might have been useful. You know, it seems like you've got a nice little research opportunity right there that you set out, and I wanted to make sure that you knew what a good idea you had.
No, thank you. Thanks, Steve. And you know, we do have certainly one element of our NGA contingent does consist of a number of researchers who I think have an interest and a bit of experience in contributing to this kind of work. That would be a valuable way to try to focus attention on what's been appealing and what's been less helpful. If I could ask our operator again to poll our group, I don't know if there's a way to signal this, but if there are those of you who've been trying to join in and have been having difficulty, you might send follow the operator's instructions again, just to send Maria Coppola an email or myself as we go along. My email is wkovacic@law.gwu.edu, and we might find another way to get you into the conversation.
Our next question comes from Maria Rivas. Your line is open.
Hi. Hello?
Yes, please.
Yes, just a small comment regarding the previous comment. And if there is this list of agencies that have been able to really benefit from the ICN and can, you know, we have examples, this perhaps can be also a source of cooperation for other agencies that want to carry out the same type of reforms in their legislature and their jurisdiction. So this is just an idea also, if you can share this information with other agencies.
Yeah, I think that's Maria. Thanks, you and Steve both have underscored a useful thing for us to measure a bit more carefully. I know members have been polled at different times about things related to this, but to ask, as both of you have mentioned, what worked, how did it work, how could it be repeated?
Exactly, that would be the idea.
Yeah, more comments.
Our next question comes from Paul O'Brien. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. Bill, can you hear me?
Yes, Paul. Thanks for joining.
Great, absolutely. This actually is on behalf of another agency. We had some difficulties, as you mentioned, in getting our questions across. I just spoke with Juanita from the Colombian agency. So on behalf of Juanita, hopefully you're still listening. This question is for Eduardo. They took notice of your comments about your domestic experience in using ICN recommended practices to help advocate for changes in your legislation and the value you took from that. Their question was basically, how can other agencies do similar? Is there a procedure within ICN about how an agency can get feedback about proposed legislation or rules back home? And I guess that's just the basic question for Eduardo.
Eduardo, could you give us some thoughts on that, please?
Yes, sure, Bill, and thank you for your question, Paul. Actually, and your question is also related with Maria's suggestion, and I think this is a good point, an important issue that we should take into account in the working program for member assistance. Which is how to use the experiences of agencies that have already been supported by the ICN. I mean, it comes to my mind the case of CAGE in Brazil, for instance. They had a major reform in their law, a very important reform that basically restructured the whole institutional design of their authorities. They are in the middle of this of this process of transition, precisely, and in that case, there was an important presence support of the chairpersons of the ICN specifically in that exercise. The Jersey case is also a good example. The Mexican case is another one. And I think it's a good idea to see how to use precisely the experiences of these agencies to support other agencies and to get that experience as an input of how to get this closer relationship with the ICN. I think it is clear to me that one of the most important challenges that we have in front of us is how to move from general guidelines, general best international practices, and how to land them in specific situations and restrictions and realities of competition authorities, competition agencies. That's exactly, and I think one way is the way that has been suggested of putting these experiences of these agencies in a written form, public, transparent, to be shared to other agencies, but also to use this experience precisely by the Japanese authorities precisely heading this exercise through the ISUP, which is precisely to define how to land the specifics to the realities of the agencies and how to convert that general support and that human capital that has been already invested in these guidelines into very specific suggestions and ways to deal with those guidelines and ways to basically design specifically those guidelines to the realities of the authorities. So this is I think this is an important information and concern that I'm getting from this from this call, and we will come out with very specific proposals on how to use these experiences.
Yeah, it's interesting how what the different working groups have done can be put in different categories. Again, Vladimir's comment about the the distillation of ideas into workbooks and other matters, methods that deal with specific technical problems. How do you do an investigation? How do you define a relevant market? These issues, in a sense, are difficult in a different way. These deal with basic issues of political science, of strategy, of policy implementation, and trying to capture some of that know-how might be very informative to us.
This is John Vingerly. Could I come in on this?
Yeah.
Possibly. I mean, I think we might try to distinguish a number of different scenarios here. One scenario is where there is a technical piece of work needed to be done. So a country introducing a new merger notification regime is struggling to characterize it in a simple way that doesn't catch lots of foreign mergers, but does capture all the mergers domestically. And there, I think a number of countries have experimented with that, a number like Ireland and others I can think of, have experimented and changed their view as time has gone on because they've learned from mistakes. And what you want to encourage is vicarious learning that countries can learn from each other's sake. But that is very often quite a technical question as to how to write merger notification guidelines. There's a second set of issues where I think in the political space you talked about, where Parliament, which is sovereign, is debating to change the law. And where, in some sense, ICN has set out some best practices, and the question is, how is that best communicated into that process? And within that, you have two scenarios. You have a scenario where the agency is very keen on the ICN work practice and wants, in some sense, to leverage that domestically. And there's a second situation where the agency is not that keen on the ICN work practice, but the private bar is and would like ICN to intervene. And I think it's probably helpful to break down the different situations we're in and think about what's going to be useful in each of those situations. And I think the experience of members is going to be most useful in the first scenario. In the second scenario, we have adopted a practice whereby ICN has written to the head of the agency, a letter that the head of the agency has been able to use domestically. That happened in Brazil, and I think it's happened in one or two other cases. And the head of the agency can then use that as part of the domestic advocacy, but ICN is not involved in a debate, an internal domestic debate. The third situation, which I have seen, but I won't say where the agency isn't terribly keen on the ICN work product for whatever reason, but the private bar is a slightly more difficult situation, and ICN should probably tread carefully there in terms of how it does that. And I think what I did in that situation was I engaged privately with the head of the agency to discuss those issues and to try and move things along in a rather more gentle way.
Yeah, that's very helpful, John. The array of different activities and the manner of absorption could differ a lot depending on both the nature of the ICN recommendation, the nature of the ICN activity, and the context in which it was going to be applied. And we might think in a much more nuanced way about what technique for assistance absorption works best in what setting. I've gotten a note from Maria that, Maria, we had two other questions that had been channeled to you. Could you offer those, please?
Sure. I will offer one. We'll get some feedback, and then the other. The first is from Botswana, and they write, "We acknowledge John Singleton's special projects initiative on engagement with the courts. Would John and others in ICN be available to assist us with advocacy to our judiciary and policymakers? We are also excited about Eduardo's three priorities and look forward to Botswana being actively involved."
Quick reaction to the first of the Botswana queries.
In general, yes.
Yes. And Eduardo, I guess that's something, maybe a prompt for all of us to think more about how that kind of engagement related to the courts might take place. Something already on your list, but a useful reminder about thinking about specific methods.
Well, actually, I think the relationship between our decisions as competition agencies and the judiciary is quite important, and I'm very glad that this is a new project that we are basically putting forward that was decided in Rio. We have to first recognize that we, of course, are in the same boat, agencies and the judiciary. And I think to increase the effectiveness and the efficiency of our mechanism of communication and information with the judiciary is very important. Actually, let me take the Mexican example. We have been very active in this particular issue. We have been very active, of course, respecting the autonomy, the independence between the executive branch and the judiciary, which is very important, and you have to start with that. That doesn't mean that you should not have a very open communication to explain your decisions and to basically send a very important advocacy messages to the judiciary. So I think to use the experiences first to have the experiences from different members in this new special project in which we are involved is very important, and also to be clear that this has to be, of course, always it has to come from the initiative of members of member agencies to ask the support. Once you have the information, once we systematize the information of the experiences that we all have in this new special group, we will have to find some ways to define some guidelines, some general lines that could give some ideas to agencies on how to deal with the judiciary. I think this is a very important issue, and now the ICN is moving forward in this special project that is going to be basically is going to get some positive outcomes in the next meeting in Poland next year.
And this might be an area too where the very detailed discussion of what kind of format works best with the judges, what specific approach, how do you organize a seminar, who teaches, what the curriculum looks like, are there ways to structure these efforts that are more likely to be readily absorbed by judges where they'll embrace it as opposed to those that don't seem to work. That kind of experience could be informative. Maria, you had one other query.
It was actually a comment,
yeah.
And it was from the ACCC that one possibility for improving member engagement is to have, at least on an occasional basis, teleconferences and webinars at times that aren't in the middle of the night for a significant number of members or in the wee hours in the morning. I hope that I've done that justice, and I apologize to ACCC if I haven't.
No, thanks, Maria, and thanks to the ACCC for the reminder that even though it's a small world, it has different time zones.
Bill, I would like to have a comment on I'm Eduardo Perez Mota on that.
Yes, Eduardo.
That particular issue. Actually, in the context of the OECD meeting that we had last week, I had a long meeting with ACCC, and this was a very important issue in which they insisted, and I think they are quite clear on that, and I understand why this is so important. I mean, as you say, we are in the small world. This is a globalized world, but we still have different time schedules, and they are very important, and they could mean to be able to attend or to understand what's going on in this discussion or not. I mean, and this is a very important issue, specifically in that particular area of the world. We actually made a compromise with them to find some ways to try to deal with this,
to have some specific meetings at some time schedules that could, in which they could work more actively and they could participate, and we will come out very soon we are already working on that internally, and we will come out with a proposal to the steering group that could be that could face and could have some answer to that particular issue, because this is not only an ACCC problem, but also, I mean, New Zealand also has the same problem, and some other authorities that are on the other side of the world.
No, thanks, Eduardo. We promised an hour, and we're just about there. But before closing, if we could take maybe one more round of questions or comments. If we have others who'd like to offer a thought, please join in.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. One moment, please. Our next question comes from Peggy Griffith. Your line is open.
Thank you. Go ahead, DeCourcy.
Yes, this is DeCourcy Eversley in Barbados. Just in terms of wrapping up, I would like to get a little bit more clarification on terms of how the ICN is going to implement the greater visibility that was talked about initially. That's one of the things that we'd like to see, how that is going to be manifested. In terms of improving the assistance to members, we have benefited substantially from a partnership program with the U.S. Who were available for us when we had issues. And I think going forward, that could be expanded in terms of the mentorship groups instead of just a one-on-one partnership where you have a small group of countries. Sometimes you have a mature country within the group, and as well you have other countries in there that are similar in terms of their experiences or economic standing, and be able to tap in on each other's experiences and each other's knowledge on specific issues to get a discussion going that helps the country with a specific issue. I think in terms of tweaking what we have already would go a long way to improving the assistance of members, and it will also enhance the membership engagement as one method of reaching that area. That's just my thoughts in terms of listening to what was going on. Thanks.
Thank you, DeCourcy, and thanks to Peggy. Any others on the line now?
Our next question comes from Tosu. Your line is open.
Yes, this is Japan Federal Commission, Hiroshi Nakazato speaking. I'm speaking as a chair of AIN, which is mentioned earlier from Eduardo. We appreciate the self-involvement to AIN by Eduardo, and we also appreciate the great interest from many countries. The mission of AIN is to build awareness of ICN work products, as you already know. However, there is a big concern whether current ISAP or AIN framework is working well, because of that there is a huge gap between demand side and supply side. So we will start the discussion about the role of AIN from the viewpoint of improved hands-on assistance to members in the vision statement from Eduardo. And the result of the discussion will respond to great needs from new and younger agencies. Thank you.
No, thanks very much. Any others on the line now?
No, sir. Good night this time.
I want to thank John and Eduardo very much for getting us started with wonderful framing presentations. To thank all of you for joining in today. I think the tentative plan is to have another of these town hall conference calls in September. Probably focused more on the specific working groups, and I know on behalf of the steering group and the leadership, they'd be delighted if you can join everyone again at that time. Maria, any other final administrative notes?
No, thanks.
No, thanks again very much. Thank you, Dorinda, for orchestrating the participation, and thanks again to everyone for pitching in today.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating in Use AT&T Teleconferencing. You all may disconnect.